Okay, today's May 31st, 2005, approximately 10:32 hours. Okay, could for me, please. Tell me, you know, what rig you were working today, when you got the call, your response to it, the actions that you took, and any and all observations that you had during the time. Okay?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. We were responded from pretty much the bottom of the Conejo grade. I was on rig 443
okay.
originally with Blake Applegate.
Okay.
And we were responded to the call as, I believe, the second ambulance into the house incident.
Okay.
I believe there was one responded prior to that to another shooting off of Santa Rosa Road by a park. We responded to the house as the second ambulance. So we would have been the third ambulance in this whole incident. I don't know the exact times, so I don't have our dispatch times yet, but we came in, the PD flagged us down and drove us through the police barricade area. Got to the house and walked in. We noted as we're walking in to the left in the kitchen, just past, I believe it was a little awning, was a middle-aged female, 40s, 50s, lying kind of in a pool of blood being attended to by Medic 441. We got a brief rundown from them as to what had happened in the house, that there is a home invasion style type robbery, either shooting or beating, and that we had at least three other victims upstairs currently being attended to one of our fire medics from, I think, Ventura County Engine 52. We went up the stairs to assess our patients. We found a 10-year-old boy with head trauma, little unstable, shaken up, talking quite a bit about what he saw, about a gun being pointed at mom, and mom saying on the phone that, you know, he's got a gun, he's pointing a gun at me. I believe the child at that time went upstairs or left the room, but he's very shaken up with that. We had another 14-year-old female. She had a C collar around her neck, and she was lying on the couch in the supine position, lying on her back. She was also being attended to by the medic. He actually had all three patients. She also, I believe, sustained head trauma to the back of her head, and there was a pool boy that was also up there. Face was covered with blood, approximate age mid-20s, somewhere around the 20s. He also stated that he was an EMT and that he had intervened in with the assailant. All three victims, according to fire, had been, and according to their own statements, had been pistol whipped in the back of the head. The pool boy that we took, at this point in time, our rig split up. Paramedic Felino with the 40, 50-year-old female with the head trauma to the back of her head. They went on the helicopter. That split him and his partner up. I partnered up with his partner, their and then Mr. Apple driving and attending in the back with him attending, and drove here on 443. So we kind of swapped rigs during that whole incident. The 10-year-old boy, the 14-year-old female really didn't say much. To us, the 10-year-old boy said quite a bit. He was just talking about what had happened. He said that the guy seemed like he was from, I believe, England, because he had an English-type accent. He hadn't seen the gentleman before. All this was volunteered to us. None of it was questioned. He just kept talking about it. And he was quite shaken up to the point where he was having some difficulty even walking. When we tried standing him, he was so shaken up, grabbing onto my partner's leg. I mean, just very shaken up. The pool boy that we transported actually saw quite a bit of the incident, and even stated that I guess his pool truck had been taken from the scene by the assailant. He said that he witnessed that the guy had a revolver type gun. He wasn't sure, but he said maybe a Smith & Wesson or something, but he said it was definitely a revolver. He didn't hear any gunshot wounds, or gunshots that were heard. And he came into the house, and I don't know the reason why. But he came into the house to find the assailant. He was pistol whipped in the back of the head as well while he was trying to, I guess, get him away from the kids or protect the kids. He had sustained some lacerations to his head and did not lose consciousness. I think that's pretty much about it. He was, again, talking to myself and my partner to the hospital, just telling us what he had seen. He did say his pool truck was taken, was stolen by the individual who went into the home. He had, I think, reddish hair. Said he looked like he was going to go play golf when he came in. He was dressed in that way. He said he was around his mid-40s, but he has more information if you need that. He got a very good look at the individual. He said he was about my height, my build. So I'm 5'7½", 165 pounds, so okay. About the same build.
Okay. Now, I'm going to go over some things, and if I misstate something, I apologize, sure. And please correct me. So when you get the call and you respond in 443,
mm-hmm.
as you're coming into the scene, did you see it all, or did you have anything to deal with the deputy that had been shot?
We did see the patrol car off to the right.
Okay.
And we did drive through the taped off area at the direction of CHP, I believe it was, that was controlling the scene.
So you're saying off to your right, but you're pointing with your left hand.
Oh, I'm sorry. The patrol car was off to the left.
Okay.
As we're driving in.
Okay.
So we made a right-hand turn.
Okay.
At the direction of CHP. We're actually going to go to the next entrance. Mm-hmm. CHP said, no, come this way, go down this way. They removed the barricade tape. We drove through. They put the barricade tape back up. Meanwhile, there was a patrol vehicle as we had turned right over to the left-hand side. And I believe that we had seen, I think, some shot out glass, and we weren't sure if that was what was going on with that or not, but we knew we were headed to the house because we'd been given a specific address. And also, during that, we were originally dispatched code 2 to this incident, and then they upgraded all units to code 3, probably about 2-3 minutes into the dispatch.
Okay. Now, so you didn't have any contact with the deputy that was shot?
No, not with the deputy.
Now, as you arrive at the residence itself, and you made entry, how was it that you came into the house again?
We came in, we pulled up behind one of the fire engines, we pulled into the driveway,
okay.
Pulled up behind one of the fire engines and came in the entrance, I believe, that attached to the kitchen.
Okay.
And that's where the 40 or 50-year-old lady, okay. middle-aged lady, was on the floor.
Okay. Now, the time that you, when you made entry, while you were inside the house, when you were exiting, did you see anything that indicated there had been, you know, a struggle or some kind of, you know,
there was
event?
As you're walking in to the right, there was a phone. As you're walking in, I think it was like a laundry type area.
Okay.
There's a black cordless phone with the back cover off, the battery on the ground, indicating maybe someone had thrown it,
okay.
thrown it down. I did note that immediately. I don't recall anything else in the immediate vicinity of the female that showed any type of struggle, but mm-hmm. I did notice the phone.
Okay.
And again, that was, there's kind of like two doors, I believe, and it was as you entered the first door, and then it was just immediately right before the second door, it was off to the right-hand side
okay.
on the ground.
Okay. What about inside the residence when you got upstairs or anything like that?
Just the blood on the patients. We were pretty focused on the patients. I didn't note any other signs of struggle upstairs. Nothing that I'm able to recall at this time.
Okay. And the statements that the 10-year-old boy made reference
yes.
what had taken place, is that, did he make these while you guys were still inside the residence?
Yes, he did.
Okay. And you said he had mentioned something about the mom being on the phone and a guy having the gun?
Yes.
Do you remember anything more specific about that particular part of the statement?
He said that the guy, he saw the guy, he heard, and I don't recall which one was first, but mm-hmm. he did see his mother on the phone, and he did hear her say, he's got a gun pointed at my head, and he looked, and the guy did have a gun pointed at his mom's head, and he did say that. The rest of his statement, I don't remember the specifics of, but he was very, he didn't say who his mom was talking to, I'm trying to recall the rest of the conversation that he had. Because he wasn't specifically my patient, I
mm-hmm.
focused more on the pool boy's conversation. I think that's all I can recall off of
okay.
right away.
And did he say where in the house this took place with the mom on the phone and this guy?
He said downstairs.
Okay. Did he say specifically where
No,
downstairs?
he did not.
Okay. Did he or his sister or the pool guy indicate where it was when they were assaulted? Where, inside, outside the house?
Not that I recall.
Okay. Okay. All right. And you'd mentioned that I think it was that the 10-year-old boy had described this guy as having an English accent?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else other than that?
The 10-year-old boy, he said he didn't recognize the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He'd never seen him before. But he knew or thought he was from England because of his English accent.
Okay.
That's the only real description of the gentleman that he gave us. The pool boy had a lot more description.
Yeah, let's go over his statement again. What was it that the pool boy had said?
He said that he had reddish hair,
okay.
That he was my height, my build,
right.
So about 5'7", 165 approximately. He said the gentleman was dressed as if he was going to go golfing, mm-hmm. assuming that means some type of polo-type t-shirt or pant or trousers. Again, my assumption only, but it was like he was going to go golfing was the statement that
okay.
he made. He said that he had a revolver. He was fairly certain it was a revolver that he was carrying. And he said, again, he said maybe Smith & Wesson, but he wasn't positive on that either. But he said he did get a very good look at the gentleman.
And then you'd mentioned that he had said that he had intervened with this guy?
Yeah, he said that he was going after the kids, and he had come in and found the guy going after the kids, and that's when the guy turned on him.
Okay. Did he say where in the house this took place?
No, he did not.
Did he describe what kind of struggle or fight he had with this guy?
No, he really didn't. He didn't describe his struggle.
Did he say anything as to what the suspect did other than the fact of he saw him, assaulting the kids and that he, jumped in the middle of it?
He said originally when the guy showed up, he was cleaning the pool.
Uh-huh.
When the guy showed up. But no, he did not at that point in time make any statements.
Okay. Did he say anything about, he mentioned specifically cleaning the pool, if I understand
yes.
you correctly? Okay. Did he mention having any kind of contact with this guy prior to when the kids? Okay.
He didn't mention, at least not to me.
Okay, okay.
And again, I was driving, so some of the conversation my partner may have some more information on because she was in the back with him.
Okay.
So some of it I was able to hear through the window, or he had said, because the door was open, he had said, and talking to both of us, just explaining what had happened.
Okay, so, again, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Absolutely.
It sounds like then the stuff you got, the information you got from the 10-year-old boy was while you were still inside the house.
Yes.
Whereas with the pool guy,
it was
in the back of the ambulance. Okay.
Yep.
While you were on scene, did you hear any other talk from any neighbors or other people reference anything having to do with the incident?
There was only, as I can recall, only one neighbor in the house. She was up, and I do apologize, mm-hmm. I did leave her out of the mix. She was upstairs with Engine 52's medic also attending to the children. And her husband, who stated that he was an ER physician at UCLA, gave her the power of attorney over the children
okay.
because he was going to go with his wife. She was there as well, but I didn't really hear any statements. I wasn't sure how she was related until we're on our way out.
Okay. All right. Did she make any statements reference at having observed anything or witnessed
no,
anything?
No.
Okay. Anybody else? I don't know what it was like outside the residence, if there were neighbors that were coming up to it or not. Did you hear any other talk about what had taken place
no.
or anything people had seen?
The deputies had done a pretty good job of keeping them towards
okay.
the scene of where the deputy had been shot.
Okay.
Where the other officers involved had kept them up front. They were all very quick to direct us to the home as we're driving into the scene. But driving out of the scene, and again, there wasn't people out there around the home at that time. They pretty much cleared out the house. I
okay.
didn't see any neighbors in or around the house.
Okay. And other than the phone that you described with with the backing off of it and whatnot, do you remember seeing anything else inside the residence that would have indicated that some sort of struggle or fight or there had been some kind of issue that had occurred?
Not that I can recall offhand.
Okay.
Again, my focus is primarily on the patient care, not necessarily on the
understandable. Is there anything else you can think of, no matter how trivial it might seem, that we haven't talked about?
Not that I can recall offhand.
Okay. If I have any questions, then I'll give you a call. And likewise, if you think of anything else, please give me a call at that number right there. Okay? Okay. We're going to end the interview then.